Morning all, my name is Brandon. I'm one of the pastors here at Legacy. It's a joy to be worshiping with you as we keep asking questions together. You know, when we have questions about any topic today, we don't tend to go to the expert in the field for the answer anymore, or even necessarily the family member who's got that favorite recipe that we want. Who do we go to instead? We go to Google. We go to the internet. We do a search. We even take our questions about God to Google first. In 2015, an article was written that explored the top three questions asked about God on Google. The first was, who created God? With variations like, where does God come from? And where was God created? That's a great question. For us following Jesus, God has always been, is, and always will be. God simply is. No one created God. Now, that's a hard concept for us to wrap our heads around. Us who are defined everywhere by our mortality and by people who have a beginning, middle, and end. And plants and animals and pets all have a beginning, middle, and an end. The second most popular question was, why does God allow suffering? We're going to dive into that question deeply in just a minute. The third question is likely related. Why does God hate me? Wow, you can feel the pain, the heartache, the sorrow behind that question. It's not a long walk from the second question to the third question, especially if you believe God is the cause of absolutely everything that happens around us, including those times that we experience immense pain and suffering. If I suffer, does God hate me? Did I do something wrong? Did I cause it? By the fact we are alive, living in this place, we will experience heartache and pain and suffering. It's a part of being human. Sometimes, as followers of Jesus, we absorb the false teaching. We believe the lie that by following Christ, we're going to have a pain-free and a wonderful existence here on earth. It will be all roses and rainbows and unicorns. And if we're not following Christ properly. That's patently and utterly false. It's a lie. Christians are not guaranteed and do not have a pain-free life. Jesus says so. In the biography about him that John wrote, in the Gospel of John in your Bible, he says, after finishing an entire section on sadness being turned into joy, Jesus says, I have told you all this so you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. Jesus wants to give us peace, just like last week in the midst of our discussion on the end of the world. And now today, peace, as we endure our own trials and sorrows moving together on this planet. Suffering is just a part of life. And we ask all kinds of questions. Why is my child suffering? Why did these people I love get a divorce? Why did my loved one die? Why is my business falling apart? Why is there still so much racism? Why are we so divided? Now, as we ask these questions, as we endure them, we tend to hide from each other. Instead of receiving Christ's peace that comes by sharing our pain with one another, we hide the fact that we hurt. Friends, there is power. There is power when we share our pain with people that we love and we trust. A peace from Christ that comes as we share with each other. No matter how hard we try, we can't keep it away. We can't hide our anger, our anguish, and our pain. Don't keep it to yourself. Don't keep it to yourself if you're hurting. You have a God that loves you. Tell God. You've got a church community that loves you and wants to help. Tell us. In some of the most painful moments in my life, the church was there to walk with me through it, to guide, to grieve with me, and to simply be there. You do not need to suffer alone. We are not designed to suffer alone. We're designed to bear with each other together in Christ. Find a group. Get plugged in here so you never have to journey alone in the ups or especially in the downs of life. Now, we all find ourselves in one of three places today: remembering our suffering, getting ready to go through it, or we're right smack dab in the middle of it. Wherever you find yourself today, I want you to know this. There is no heartache. There is no heartbreak that Jesus does not care about. Rest in God's love for you today. God does not hate you. If you don't feel that today, if you don't believe it, let us believe it for you. Let us hold it for you until you're ready to accept that God does not hate you. God loves you. God loved you so much, he sent his son to conquer sin and death forever. So with that foundation, let's ask, why is there so much suffering? Or to put it personally, why do I suffer? Your preachers and teachers put this answer in front of you. Suffering can be explainable, mysterious, and redemptive. Now for some, suffering, it can be explained. There is a simple cause and effect relationship. You did this, so this consequence is the result. The parents among us set up boundaries for our children. If a boundary is violated, it's crossed. Say, for example, someone comes home later than they were supposed to, a consequence is given. It's simple cause and effect. Or it's like the woman who was caught speeding. As she sat in the police car awaiting her $400 ticket, she looked up to the heavens and asked, "Why, God? Why me?" God replies, "You got caught speeding. If you don't want the pain in your wallet, stop speeding." We cause some of our own suffering, sometimes repeatedly. It's the story of the first humans in our Bibles. God makes the world good, and God makes us very good. God places humanity in the garden. Genesis notes, "The Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and to watch over it. But the Lord God warned him, 'You may freely eat the fruit of every tree in the garden, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you are sure to die.' Eat whatever you want, except for that one tree." Adam and Eve had one job. Now, I had a college student once ask me after class, "Why did God put that tree there in the first place? Why not leave it out? Then there'd be no chance of violating God's rule." That's a great question. We have free will. I said God doesn't want robots who just did whatever God wanted them to do. God wanted people to freely choose to love God. The only way true love happens is through a choice, a real choice with consequences, an option to opt out, to say, "No, God, I know better. I want to call my own shots." It's the mother of all kinds of sin, of missing the mark. It's pride. It's knowing better than God. It's defining good and evil for ourselves. Free will, freedom, making our own choices can lead to pain and suffering. It happens to Adam and Eve. They're ejected from the garden, will have to work the earth, endure pain and suffering on earth, and eventually die. Now, we tend to miss in those list of consequences God's grace and God's care for them. Had God left Adam and Eve in the garden, they would have existed forever in a broken state, separated from God forever. Even in God's consequences, God starts a rescue plan to bring humanity back into full relationship, full connection with God. Some suffering is explainable. We need to stop doing a certain action or consequences will result. Otherwise, we keep reenacting our own version of Adam and Eve being ejected from the garden. We need to set limits for ourselves. We need to set boundaries. Otherwise, we find ourselves constantly tired and worn out and have little patience for any other human beings, including those that we love the most. We bring some suffering on ourselves. There's also suffering because we bump into each other. We make choices and it affects other people, choosing to drive distracted and hurting someone else as a result. All of the COVID restrictions and masking and distancing, as annoying, as inconvenient as they have been to prevent suffering in other people, not just ourselves. As we hopefully near the end of the pandemic, do not give up. Do not grow weary of doing good to each other, caring for each other, and especially those of the most vulnerable among us. Let's do all we can to prevent suffering in each other. You know, we can so deeply hurt each other in our relationships. You know, maybe today you're being taken advantage of or even abused. If you find yourself here, please hear me. It is not your fault. It is not your fault. God is not punishing you for something. Remember, God loves you. If you're being abused, it is time to get up and get out. These are not wrongs done by you, but done to you. Our suffering might be explained because other people have made poor choices. May we make choices that love others and protect them and get out if necessary. Suffering can be explainable, mysterious, and redemptive. Some suffering does not have a logical conclusion. Some suffering is just mysterious. We have no idea why we suddenly have a terminal illness. We have no idea why someone we deeply loved died suddenly. Our bodies break down and do not work as designed due to sin and death. Not to mention there are natural disasters that go this way, missing a populated area this time, and then others that hit the large population center the next time around. Friends, creation is fallen just as we are fallen, sinful creatures. The world and we do not operate as originally designed. Unlike some Christian leaders you may see, I do not believe natural disasters are God's punishment for this or that act. Our world is simply broken. Paul, the first century church planter, he puts it like this. Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are. Against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse. But with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. The world does not work like it should, nor do we as humans. Sometimes, you know, we can explain why a relationship goes sideways and someone has broken off contact with us. Other times, it seems to come out of the blue. We're left standing there wondering, what did we do wrong? Because we know this person. We know these people will no longer talk to us. It is mysterious to why a relationship ended. In these moments, when we find ourselves suffering and we don't know why, we have no explanation for, we need to rest in Jesus more than ever before. When I performed my first funeral almost 2 decades ago, I was struck with how much the spouse leaned into Jesus as she said goodbye to her husband. She leaned into her faith and not away in her suffering. And since then, I've seen many of you, as you've endured suffering, you've leaned more into Jesus, found his peace and comfort in the midst of your incredible pain, loss, and heartache. The mysterious requires us to get closer to Jesus, to lean on our faith. So often in our suffering, we find that our faith, our God in Jesus, the Holy Spirit, we find all of that to be more real, more alive, more tangible than we could ever imagine. Suffering can be explainable, mysterious, and redemptive. Yes, in God's hands, in Jesus' hands, our suffering can be redemptive. It's in God's character to bring good out of the awful that happens to us. Now, in the first part of your Bible, in the book of Isaiah, he writes about someone who has not yet existed at that point in history. And let that sink in a moment. Making the cut in the book of Isaiah was a prophecy, was a prediction of the future, of someone who would be just as described. Who does this sound like? He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. Yet it was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us like sheep have strayed away. We've left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. Isaiah writes about a man who enters our suffering, our weaknesses, so we could be made whole and healed. 700 years before Jesus walks the earth, Isaiah points the way to him, to our healing, to our redemption in the midst of our suffering and of his. There is perhaps no better description of us like sheep who continue to use our free will at times to prolong some of our own suffering and our own pain over and over and over again. Here you see a person helping a sheep stuck in a trench. Now the sheep is simply ecstatic for the rescue and is likely a little afraid of the rescuer. But what happens almost immediately? He jumps right back into the trench. He's back into the same problem less than 30 seconds later. This video explains our situation so perfectly. We get stuck. God makes a way for us to get unstuck. then so many times we use our freedom, we use our free will not to follow Christ, but to go back to the same patterns that caused us to get stuck in the first place. But the good news is that Jesus keeps coming to the trench. Jesus keeps rescuing us and redeems us. Jesus enters into our suffering, meets us in the middle of it, and will eventually redeem our suffering, if not in this life, then at the end of time itself. This is a story we see repeated over and over again in Scripture, God redeeming suffering for good. In the very first book in our Bibles in Genesis, Joseph is sold into slavery by his brothers. He rides a roller coaster of highs and lows for years before becoming the second in command of Egypt. Joseph has power and position and authority when his brothers come begging for help. Instead of getting revenge, instead of getting even, Joseph has compassion on them, forgives them, and realizes he's in a position to save the lives of his brothers who sold him into slavery. What compassion! What grace! Joseph says to his brothers, "You planned something bad for me, but God produced something good from it in order to save the lives of many people, just as he is doing today." God does not cause everything, but God can certainly redeem anything, this side of the new heaven and new earth, and on the other side. God does not cause everything in our lives, but God can redeem anything. Anything. When I spend time with our confirmation students, we talk a little about different religions in the world. One of the very unique teachings of Christianity is the God who suffers. God, the creator of it all, holy and separate from creation, from us, chooses to enter creation, to become one of us, not to lord over us, not to rule over us, but to suffer right beside us as a lowly human being. And not only to suffer beside us, but to make a way out of our sin and pain and death forever. Friends, we follow and serve the God who suffers. Today, if you are suffering right now, embrace the pain in you. We don't want to suffer, but we need to put it in the hands of someone who can redeem it and make us and the world whole again. Let's take God up on the suggestion to give our suffering to God. We enter into our suffering, giving it up to Jesus, so that we can be raised into a brand new and transformed life. That can happen on this side of the new heaven and new earth, or over there. We can't hide our pain or anguish. Let's share it with each other and take it to Jesus and walk with him through it so he can meet us right in the middle of where we are. Now, if you're walking alongside someone who is suffering, embrace the person in pain. It is just to be there. It's not to fix anything or answering questions or giving trite, unbiblical answers like God needed another angel or everything happens for a reason or God will never give you more than you can handle. Just drop all of those from your vocabulary. Delete them. Don't lean on those pat phrases that might make you feel better, but the person suffering feel worse. Just be present. Sit with them. We didn't cause it. We can't change it. We can't cure it, but we can be there. Why is there so much suffering in the world today? Suffering can be explainable, mysterious, and redemptive. It could be our choices, someone else's choices, or we simply don't know. Either way, I do know the one who can help. If you are in pain today, God does not hate you. God loves you so much that God sent Jesus to suffer with us. And not just to sit with us, but to redeem our pain, to lead to resurrection, and to the new heaven and the new earth where there'll be no more pain or sickness or tears or death ever again. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, may we truly know and feel deep in our bones that you care for us and that you love us. It's hard to feel that at times when we're in pain and heartache and suffering. May we experience your presence in the people right beside us and in your Holy Spirit, mysteriously working good out of the awful things that happen to us on this earth. We lift up to you today all of the prayers, spoken and unspoken, as we pray together in the way Jesus taught his disciples to pray, saying together, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.